Welcome to KSKA's A Closer Look. I'm Len Anderson. For the next half hour on A Closer Look, we'll focus on autism and some of the educational approaches being used to help Anchorage children who have this condition. In Anchorage, like most communities in the state, the bulk of the educational process for autistic and Asperger children takes place within school district programs. Some parents work at home with their children. A few travel outside Alaska for help. And early next year, a new school, independent from the district, is scheduled to open in Anchorage. The new school is an expansion of the Connecticut Center of Child Development. The center is a nonprofit organization based in Milford, Connecticut, and founded in 1996 by the parents of an autistic son, now in his early 20s. The Child Development Center operates two facilities in Connecticut. The organization has also helped establish or revive six schools in New York, Kansas, New Hampshire, and Rhode Island. All use the school's very individualized, intensive, one-on-one version of a method known as applied behavior analysis. Suzanne Letso, one of the founding parents, is executive director of the Connecticut Center of Child Development.
We've been working intermittently here on a consulting basis for families and have been asked for a number of years to start a private school-based program here. And we recently did a reassessment of our internal capacity and decided that we were ready to take on that challenge. Our students primarily are diagnosed with autism and related disorders, although entry into our program basically is based on whether individuals show signs and symptoms, not necessarily on their diagnostic criteria.
Letso and several staff members were recently in Anchorage for a two-day autism conference that her organization sponsored and ran. They were also here to start setting up the school, in particular, scouting for a possible location. KSKA talked to her a day before their departure back to Connecticut. Letso said the school's beginning will be small, 8 students, as it begins operation and starts to train local people to work with members of the Connecticut staff who will relocate here. The training will be toward BCBA certification and revolves around the center's particular applied behavior analysis. The Anchorage students will likely pretty much match those attending their East Coast schools.
Autism really is a spectrum disorder, meaning that people can have a wide variety of signs and symptoms. They may have some but not all symptoms. It's kind of like a Chinese menu where you have some from column A, some from column B. But primarily, people with autism spectrum disorders show deficits and idiosyncratic behavior, if you will, all around the areas of communication and social awareness and relatedness.
What would be an example of social awareness?
Perhaps not being able to make eye contact, not being able to have what's called joint attention, meaning that if I were talking to you but making reference to a water bottle, you might not understand the object or be able to share attention with me on that object or a blackboard in a classroom.
How soon do signs appear?
I think that's a question that the medical community is still really looking at. In some cases, we see, particularly when it's a sibling of someone who's already been diagnosed, you can start to see differences when children are 6, 7 months old. But I think if you ask someone who's going to make a diagnosis, they're usually looking at children over 1, between 1.5 to 3 is probably pretty common right now.
A 2005 report found on the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services website indicated 1 in 150 Alaska school children as certified having autism. More recent tallies from other sources tracking autism in Alaska have dropped that ratio to at least 1 in 100. That does not include Asperger syndrome or pervasive development disorder not otherwise specified. Both are marked by milder symptoms of autistic disorder. As Director of Special Education for the Anchorage School District, Cindy Anderson oversees the beginning term count of autistic and Asperger students, as well as the program the district offers them.
I believe we have about 480 students that are certified autistic or Asperger's. And most of those students are in general classes and get some resource support for study skills or for social skills. And the students that are more intensive are in our self-contained structured learning classes. But the nice thing about those are that they're housed in a regular school, and our students have access to neurotypical peers, which is one of the best ways to teach a student with autism how to socialize effectively, how to be part of a school community, how to learn those social skills that are appropriate for later on in life.
You're listening to KSKA's A Closer Look. Today's program is on autism and what sort of educational opportunities are available to Anchorage students with autism and Asperger's syndrome. Chris and Dan Sadler of Eagle River are the parents of four children, the youngest being twins, aged 14. One of the twins, Danny, is currently attending his second year at the Connecticut Center of Child Development. His mother has accompanied him. Speaking from Connecticut, Chris said, unlike many other autistic children, Danny's condition was not diagnosed early. His autism was hidden behind another difficulty.
Danny had cerebral palsy as well, and so because of that, he really wasn't diagnosed, I think, as soon as we possibly could have. His private speech therapist, actually, was the one who said, please get Danny screened for autism, that he was no longer making progress in his speech therapy. In fact, he had not only plateaued, he was regressing. And so we asked the Anchorage School District to get him screened. And when that didn't happen after several months, we were asked to do it privately. So we took him actually to Dr. Ron Brennan at Providence, who's a pediatric neurodevelopmentalist. And I think that some folks think that autism is sort of the diagnosis of the day and that it's being overdiagnosed. Dr. Brennan is a very particular, very careful physician, and he has been a diagnostician in Alaska for a number of years. And you really have to meet the criteria in order to get that diagnosis here. And so I don't think it's being overdiagnosed. But for Danny, we got his diagnosis, and we were given about an inch thick stack of documents about autism. I'm an RN, and I had really not known very much about it at all, and told that there really wasn't a whole lot that we could do or that was available in Alaska, that there had been a university program, intensive intervention program, a long time ago, but that was no longer available. And so it was kind of like, well, here you are, but not a lot of guidance, not a lot of help. And I actually went to other parents, was introduced to a therapist who was actually working for the Anchorage School District, but taking care of some private kids on her off hours. And she set up for us a home ABA program, an applied behavioral analysis program. And that literally gave us Danny back. At that point in time, Danny had regressed to the point where at 5 years old, he was no longer talking. You couldn't get him to look at you. You'd kind of pick him up and turn him around, and you really couldn't get him to look at you. She taught us to sit down across the table from him to get his attention and keep his attention and keep it focused on what we were working on. And we literally went in two-hour shifts, 6 hours a day, and worked what was called a program, a series of different tasks. And I think we were running 12 or 15 over a two-hour period, and it was simply exposing him to different articles, different topics, different concrete things, and getting him to be able to identify them. They were simple things like colors and shapes, letters, numbers, and it was interesting to us that it really gave us a way to communicate with Danny, to reach him.
For autistic children, progress demands intensive, patient, and planned approaches. Chris Sadler gives a couple of examples.
It's breaking things down to such a level that whoever you're helping to teach can get it. The last time we were down at Autism Partnership in California, for instance, we asked them to help us with helping Danny recognize strangers, know that not everybody was an okay person, that you needed to be a little more reserved with some people than others. As far as Danny was concerned, everybody was okay. He'd be willing to walk off with anybody because everybody was his friend. And so what we did, there are a couple of expressions that I'll define first. One is that it's harder to identify something expressively, verbally, than it is to do it receptively, to point out something. What we did was we took a bunch of pictures, and we took pictures of friends of Danny's, of his teachers in our programming, of his family, and then of strangers, people that he had never seen before. So we had this stack of about, probably 30, 40 cards, picture cards. And what we asked him to do was we labeled four categories: friends, teachers, family, and strangers. And we pulled up a card and we'd say, Danny, tell us, who is this? Is this a friend, a teacher, a family, a stranger? And we got nowhere. That was too far, too complicated. And what they teach you in ABA is that anytime that you go in, you have your material set up, you have your goal in mind, you've got your program mapped out in your head, what you're going to be doing. But you need to also be aware of how can you break it down two steps simpler, and how can you build it up two steps more difficult? Because you never know any given day how on your kid is going to be. So we backed off and we did what's called reducing the field. Instead of having four categories, we brought it down to two that we thought Danny knew for sure, teachers and family. And we made it easier by, instead of making it expressive, we asked him to do it receptively. So we would do a couple of things. We could put two cards on the table and say, Danny, point to family. Breaking it down that way, he got it pretty quickly. And so within 30 minutes, we were able to add back in strangers and then finally friends, and we're asking him to do it expressively. And so you can make things simpler, you can make things more difficult, but you've got to have all of that ahead of time. And so while it looks simple, it's not necessarily so. We had a friend come over, and Danny was working with a provider doing environmental scanning, because one of the things these kids don't do well is pick up things from their environment. And so we wanted to help him be aware of what's around him. And so she'd placed different things in the room, and she asked him a specific question. He was sitting on the chair in front of her, and she said, you know, Danny, give me the purple bumpy ball under your chair. He looked around and looked under his chair and picked out the purple bumpy ball and handed it to her. And the person, I could tell, thought that was easy. But what they didn't realize was we had to teach him purple, literally teach him purple. We had to teach him ball. We had to teach him bumpy versus smooth. We had to teach him under and around and over and behind. We had to teach him chair, for heaven's sakes. These kids don't pick up from their environment, and some 75% of what we learn is what we kind of just absorb from being around people and hearing and seeing things. And if you cut that out and then you don't provide that other 25% in a very literal presented way, they're lost and they regress and they withdraw into this shell that is almost impossible to get them out of.
This is KSKA's A Closer Look, a program where we expand upon topics appearing in shorter news stories. Today's edition is a broad look at some of the educational opportunities in Anchorage for autistic children. Cindy Anderson, Director of Special Education for the Anchorage School District, says the school district is increasingly developing staff knowledgeable in the applied behavior analysis techniques used by Chris Adler with her son Danny, as well as the Connecticut School. Anderson says the district's autistic and Asperger's students cover a wide range of learning abilities. She also points out the socializing emphasis of the district's program.
There isn't a situation that I've been in where you can specifically say, this child is like someone else. They are so unique and so individual. And so the critical piece for each team is to take that individuality and create the program for the child. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the ABA services do, is provide a program that you can individualize the program for the child. And so I think that's what's so nice about what we're doing, and the amount of staff we've trained in ABA is our ability to, again, look at and start creating more individual programming. Mm-hmm. Part of that individual programming, though, is figuring out how to teach kids replacement behaviors that will work effectively in a general education setting. Mm-hmm. So you've got to be teaching constantly everything, every aspect, to assure that then they learn the skills to be able to generalize those and go out into the community of the school and the community itself.
However, Chris and Dan Sadler did not think that the Anchorage School District's program adequately met their son's educational needs arising from his cerebral palsy and autism. That was especially true, Chris says, for the latter. They wanted more intensive individual attention than the school district provides. Last year, Chris and Danny moved to Connecticut so that he could attend the Connecticut Center of Child Development.
That's a tremendous difference between the classroom we were offered in Anchorage and the classroom that we have here in Connecticut. Five boys in a classroom, and in Anchorage, there was a new special ed teacher who had done her coursework in BCBA but had not received the supervised training. You literally get, depending on the program, 1,200 to 1,500 hours of mentored teaching experience with these programs. And then she had basically two teacher aides. And teacher aides, there are some wonderful ones in the district, but you're basically required to have a high school education. And you get some assistance, but five boys, a special ed teacher with basic training, and then two teaching assistants. Danny's classroom in Connecticut had actually a special ed teacher much in the same boat. She'd finished her BCBA coursework, but as part of her staff for the five boys in her class, she had a supervisory level BCBA as part of the class staff. And then they had five teaching assistants with undergraduate degrees, some of whom were in the middle of getting their master's. And then there was a behavior supervisor for the floor, and then Judy Palazzo, who was up to Anchorage recently, who's the clinical director. I mean, the number of BCBAs in the building, the place is steeped with it. It's just a tremendous difference. So better than a one-to-one ratio compared to a one-to-three. But I think that the difference really lies in their expertise and experience. This is a very well-established school. And for example, our 12 to 15 home programs, Danny has 30 or so goals that he's actively working on. So 30 or so programs, and that's about their average per child.
Suzanne Lipso, the school's executive director, says some of those programs are family-directed rather than from her staff.
The way we look at it is we're not just accepting a student into our program, we're accepting a family into the program, so we want them to help us identify areas of need. So for example, if a child doesn't eat a healthy diet, if they don't sleep through the night, if they can't tolerate doctor's appointments or dentist visits, or if they can't keep a child safe when they're out in the community, these are all very important to us. So for example, if you have someone who won't keep a seatbelt on, and a mom now feels like she can't take her child to the store with her if she's running errands, that family's world is getting smaller and smaller. Not only is it a problem now, but it may become a lifelong problem. So anything that we can do to address some of these unique problems so that a family can keep as many social connections for themselves as well as for their child. Those are all completely valid instructional goals of instruction for us.
The Connecticut School doesn't just work with autistic and Asperger students. When the new Anchorage facility opens with its first eight students, it will also begin its applied behavior analysis training.
Our mission really is twofold. One is to be the highest quality educational provider that we can for the children and families we serve, and the other is to help advance the field of behavior analysis and autism education by training as many professionals, either to help those that are already out in the field enhance their skills, or to have other people who are just entering the field become highly qualified and not only be able to work for us and be promoted within our organization, but to be able to go out and start their own programs as well. There is a certification process. It's not something that we provide. There is a national certification process. So those who are interested in becoming board certified behavior analysts would get coursework from a university, and there's the programming here available in Alaska, as well as distance learning opportunities. There's a practicum piece or a hands-on training piece, which is really our specialty, and I think the piece that we really both enjoy and excel at. And then you have to pass a national exam.
Special Education Director Anderson says the Anchorage District has been working to expand its ABA knowledgeable teachers and staff.
We have what we call structured learning classes, and in the past 2 years, we've had 250 staff, TAs and teachers, trained in ABA techniques and applying those techniques in those structured learning classrooms in elementary and secondary. Even at Mirror Lake, we currently have a BCBA certified staff teacher in that classroom teaching, and she then is helping us with other programs for other students. So she's a certified BCBA, which is what would be running the Connecticut school here, is someone like that. So we have really expanded over the last 2 years utilizing the CARE company that has come in as a consultant, and we have done extensive training, and we're continuing that into a third year, and we're actually getting beyond just basic ABA, but into much more advanced ABA training and getting that out into our classrooms as well that are structured learning classrooms.
She describes the wide range of abilities within the Asperger and autistic student group.
Our least impacted students are some of our students with Asperger's in gifted programs, attending maybe a study skills or social skills class, teaching them how to exchange communication and listen to others instead of them having to be the speaker all the time. It can be making sure that we're working on vocational skills, work readiness skills, so that not only are they getting their gifted services, but they're also learning how they will be able to work out in society. The most extreme we have are our kids in our life skills classes, where they're so severe that they require physical assist, support, feeding, and they have an extreme cognitive impairment along with their autism.
Federal law permits parents of autistic and other special needs students who think their child is not receiving the program they need to sue a school district if a mediation attempt proves unsuccessful. In those suits, sometimes the parents prevail, sometimes the school district. The Sadlers sued the Anchorage School District, and the settlement allowed Danny to go to the Connecticut school. I asked Chris Sadler if they currently plan to ever place Danny back into the Anchorage School District.
What we know about Danny, because we've tried it twice, is that he does not do well in a less structured environment. Here in Connecticut, they really are working towards a child's independence. Our intention would be for Danny to come back and go to the new school in Anchorage and work towards being in a less structured environment ultimately. We want Danny to be a functioning adult, a hopefully independent adult. And it depends on where on the spectrum your kids are. You have to be realistic. Will Danny ever live absolutely independently? Probably not. Probably always with others or family or in some kind of generally supervised setting. But will he be a contributing member of society? I hope so. The kids that are aging out of the school here are kids that have jobs in the community and adult programs where they can continue to learn because they have a unique learning style. And yes, it is labor intensive, especially early on. But as he's able to learn, and you do it as soon and as intensive as you can, as long as you can, but that's not always going to be available. It really depends on where on the spectrum a child is. When Danny was first diagnosed, I would have said, oh, yeah, sure, you know, we've made so much progress in such a short time, he's going to be fine. What happened was as we backed off, he regressed, and I guess we're not willing to do that again. We're not willing to put Danny in a situation where he is not intensively involved in a learning program, you don't recoup those losses. You simply don't. And we won't subject him to that again.
Anderson and Anchorage School Superintendent Carol Como feel that despite possible legal entanglements, the arrival of the Connecticut school could be a good alternative for some autistic students.
I think one of the things I was very pleased was to see that they will work to get kids back into their neighborhood schools. Sometimes you need a really intensive program, and then you do a transition into a neighborhood school with that program and then start to develop those skills within that neighborhood school. So I do see that's a very positive thing. And yes, I do think there are situations, we have students now that we are struggling to build program for. They're kids with some really significant behavior, some really significant issues, and every day we're trying something new to try to make things work. And if this is something that would work for these children, I think that that's excellent.
She's right. I mean, and I got this quote in this press release of theirs where they say, our goal is for some students to get to the point where they can be educated in public schools and others so they'll be independent as possible with the least amount of supports so they can stay with their families. And I don't want to ever lose sight of that. If that's going to work in Anchorage so that a family doesn't have their students moved outside or part of the family has to move outside so they can get, then much better to be in Anchorage so they're close. So I see that as a positive, but I was very gratified, as Cindy was, that they hope that in many cases the students will be able to come back into the public schools and be active participants and successful students, because that's what we want to hear too.
Suzanne Letso is excited about the Anchorage project and starting a school here.
In some respects, Alaska is actually way ahead of where we were when we started in Connecticut, because there are already a number of services in place. There is a number of behavior analysts who have either moved to Alaska or who have been homegrown here in Alaska who are starting to provide or have been providing services for the last few years. And you have a university system that's supporting that initiative as well. So that's probably about 75 million light years away from where we were when we started in Connecticut. Here's my final worry as a parent and my final thought in terms of what we hope to accomplish is that I think part of what we accomplish is to make sure that everybody, every parent who has a child diagnosed with autism or any other related disability knows that people with autism can learn. And they can learn a great deal, and they can learn throughout their lifespan. You don't stop learning because you're 21. And I think getting that thought across when you see your child so different and so challenged, and it's so hard to teach what your other children may just appear to learn by osmosis, is a really daunting and sometimes heartbreaking place to be. So helping families understand that these children are not completely lost, and there's a lot. Sorry, I am always still a mom first. But that there's a lot that we can do to help our children today and to protect them for the future.
Suzanne Letso, who with her husband Roger co-founded the Connecticut Center of Child Development. To find a link to their school website, along with that of the Anchorage School District Special Education Department, go to our website, alaskapublic.org, and the KSKA page. This has been A Closer Look, a production of KSKA FM Anchorage. I'm Len Anderson. Thank you for listening.